What does it all mean? There was agreement last night by both John Boehner, the Republican Speaker of the House, and President Barack Obama that to actually default on August 2nd would be a disaster for Americans, for the global economy. The question we posed this morning is do we really want to look under that rock this morning and figure out what it's actually going to look like if the worst happens? Here's what a listener in Las Cruces, New Mexico says. If there's a default on August 2nd, I'll face the possibility again that I won't get paid by my employer, the U.S. government. And that listener possibly hearkening back to the government shutdown talks just a couple of months ago. But let's listen to the address to the nation last night. President Obama urging members of Congress to act quickly to raise the nation's debt ceiling.
Defaulting on our obligations is a reckless and irresponsible outcome to this debate. And Republican leaders say that they agree we must avoid default. But the new approach that Speaker Boehner unveiled today, which would temporarily extend the debt ceiling in exchange for spending cuts, would force us to once again face the threat of default just 6 months from now. In other words, it doesn't solve the problem.
And here's Republican Speaker John Boehner.
The United States cannot default on its debt obligations. The jobs and savings of too many Americans are at stake.
Jobs, savings, reckless, irresponsible outcome. Joining us now is John Koskinen, former deputy director for management of the White House Office of Management and Budget during the 1990s. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So I've got to think that there are people in Washington right now whose job it is to actually look under that ugly rock and contemplate what actually happens when and if there is a default on August 2nd. Would you have been one of those fellows back in 1994?
I would have been.
So what does it look like under that rock?
Well, it's much more complicated this time around. In 94, the government had never really been shut down before, but it was primarily a question of the lack of appropriations from Congress, and it's illegal to spend money you don't have that hasn't been appropriated. So then what we had to do with a couple million federal employees was figure out who were the emergency workers that could work, even though we couldn't pay them with appropriated dollars. This time around, it's not a question of appropriations. The money is appropriated. The problem is we won't have the money if there's a default. So at that point, it's a question of prioritizing as the bills come in, whether they're contractors' bills, interest on the debt, or payroll expenses. They don't all come in on one day. They come in over, every day there are bills come in and every day money comes in, and you have to sort through that and figure out what your priorities for that day will be, and that's a much more difficult job.
So John Koskinen, a former deputy director for management of the White House Office of Management and Budget during 1994-1997, how does a meeting like that take place? Just give me a sense of the process. Does the White House issue a memo which says the following bills will be top priority and these bills will be low priority? Or do you actually have discussions about maybe paying everything related to the interest on our debt, in a sense, using whatever money is around to avoid default, at the expense of American workers or defense contractors or Social Security recipients?
Well, it won't all be one meeting. With any luck at all, people have been having those meetings and discussions for some time because, just as you'd note, it's a complicated equation there. But ultimately, the decision does come down to those choices. Do you pay? We have $88 billion worth of debt that has to be refinanced, and if the markets won't buy it in that week after August 2nd, that's $88 billion that you have to come up with at somebody's expense. If you want to fund the Defense Department, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and pay the interest on the debt, you have to shut the rest of the government down totally over time.
That's so frightening. So basically it sets up a kind of a food chain here, right?
Exactly. What you have is a lot of very difficult, unpalatable choices in which ultimately the president and the Treasury Department and the Fed will have to decide the order of priorities. But the complication is the systems are set up to pay automatically and on a regular basis, and it's not just an easy on-off switch you turn to say, well, I'm not going to pay Social Security this week, and next week I'm not going to pay veterans, because the systems can't be changed necessarily at the flip of a switch.
Really? So it's speculation. Let's just stipulate that right at the top. But how would you describe that food chain? And again, you're kind of guessing here, but what category of expenses would you suspect, based on the discussions that we know are going on, would be at the bottom of that food chain and which are probably closer to the top. Any idea?
Well, it is speculation, but clearly those items you'd want to look very closely at would be interest on the debt for investors around the world and central banks. You'd want to look at benefit payments that people depend upon every week and every day to live upon. So you'd have Social Security payments. You'd have veterans payments. You'd have retirement payments. You'd have, obviously, you'd worry about paying soldiers who are defending the country around the world. And as you begin to get down through that list, you suddenly discover right about there you run out of options, and it's not clear you can cover all of those.
So probably national parks or, you know, maintenance of, you know, oil pipelines probably going to be low on the list.
Right. I would not count on going to any museum or park run by the federal government after August 2nd.
Okay, so is it the case then that the people driving this are actually pushing the federal government into a Hobson's choice of basically saying, all right, we're going to favor this Chinese holder of U.S. T-bills and their interest bill over Social Security recipients, that's essentially where we're being pushed?
Well, I think essentially where we're being pushed is we've got to solve this problem. We've got a deficit that's really out of control, and I think the debate really is how are we going to get there? And the good news is we're actually having that debate. As both parties said in their speech on Monday evening, I don't think anybody actually wants to get to that Hobson's choice, and that's why I'm really reasonably confident that they're not going to get there, that we'll figure a way out of it this week. The question is whether we'll be able to figure out a way out of the deficit challenge over the next several years.
Well, I am fascinated by this discussion. I'm really thrilled that you agreed to speak with us, John Koskinen. Before we go, if we don't get to an agreement by August 2nd, is doomsday a good word for this?
Well, if not doomsday, it's clearly a catastrophe. It's not something anybody would wish on either the U.S. economy or the world economy.
All right, John Koskinen, former Deputy Director for Management of the White House Office of Management and Budget between the years 1994 and 1997, looking under that ugly rock called a possible federal debt default. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.